Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. Sure. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, author of the world's best-selling sales book, The Little Red Book of Selling.
And I'm Jen Glackow, founder and CEO of Sales in a New York Minute.
And we're here today on Sell or Die to make sure that you get the information that you need in order to make more sales, more money, keep your job, fire your boss, and take over the company.
That's right. This show is all about you and how we can help you. And all you need to do is find us on iTunes or your favorite podcast app.
Tell both your friends.
And then give us a 5-star review.
Okay. And today's show is all about how you can improve your life. I want to make sure that you get that. Because when we start to talk about what happens in the sales world, we mean it.
Oh, yeah. So let's get into it.
It's time to sell or die. So we're on with Mitch Taylor, the great Mitch Taylor, who does a ton of events. And many of them are family events. Would you say that's fair to say, Mitch?
Absolutely.
Are they all family events?
Pretty much. It's either weddings or private events, anything that causes a celebration for people to come together. They hire me to preside over it and to help encourage great memories.
Jen and I just went to a wedding in New Jersey, and it was, I would say, overdone.
Okay.
But in what ways?
Well, Jeffrey? The band was amazing.
The band was incredible. No one stopped dancing. Everyone was dancing the whole night.
Nice. The food was medium.
Yeah. I looked hungry.
It was at a snazzy country club. Had to cost them a bloody fortune.
Sure.
People hung your coat up for you and crap like that. And everyone right. had
the
a table.
The important stuff.
Everyone had a table with a number and a little name and that kind of stuff.
Isn't that sort of expected at those kinds
of weddings?
I think
it is expected. But the bottom line is the food needs to be great and the band needs to be great. And this one was only one of the two. What else needs to be in this event to make it memorable?
To make it memorable, you need to cause a mental shift. It needs to be a mental shift of something that they're not expecting. Because the vast majority of events you go to...
Hold on, Mitch. My mind is whirring right now. The things that they're not expecting. Is that like the Rockettes come or something or what?
Well, it could be something very simple. Or it could be something grandiose. But oftentimes people go to a private event, whether it be a wedding or a corporate event, whatever the case may be, and they walk in the door and they know what's going to happen.
Oh, that's interesting. I knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
I knew there'd be
but
people. I didn't know the band was going to be so good.
Yeah.
Right.
I think they paid a lot of money for that band.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm. So when you as a performer or you as someone who is helping the couple or the client create the event, mm-hmm. then when you're helping them create something they've never seen before or people have never seen before, then that causes people to want to stay longer at the event itself. And that to me is key. Engagement.
So, are you throwing people out at the end or are you letting them stay overtime?
Well, it depends on the situation. Every client is different. But again, that's another thing you can end with is create a different ending than people have never expected before. I've ended on a way more romantic note with a candlelight ending with a circle. The bride and groom surrounded in candlelight.
Oh, cool.
That's really cool.
There's, that's something you've never seen before.
That's
right?
True. Yeah. And they're singing a song like Hope This Lasts More Than 1 Year.
Yeah, exactly.
You sort of know when you go to weddings which ones are going to last and which ones aren't.
I've been to enough now where we
place bets sometimes.
Yeah, maybe. Jen, that's totally the case.
Is it a bet that it's going to last or not, or is there like an over under?
Both.
I got it.
Or it's one
both,
or. Yeah.
But listen, the challenge is okay. So I get it. When you meet with the prospect. Because there's obviously a bunch of meeting planners or wedding planners that are out there that are competing for your business, correct?
Yes.
What do you ask these people that makes you stand out from the other people?
So for me, one question I try to ask is, what are you looking to create?
Mm-hmm.
Or my favorite question to ask is, because people always say, well, you know, what do you want your guests to say about your, you know, or, you know, what do you want you to remember about your wedding? Well, that's okay. That's a pretty generic question, though. But to me, I try to ask better, more emotional questions. And one of them is, you know, if you could be a fly on the wall as your guests are driving home from your reception, what do you want them to say?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool.
I agree with that. I'm going to add something. What do you want them to say, and what do you want them to post?
Yes.
Because I think now in today's world, it's not just saying that means anything, it's posting. They have these pictures from the wedding, or they have these ideas or memories from the wedding. They're going to post on Facebook. They're going to post on Instagram. They're going to say something of memory. And the photographer at the wedding or the videographer at the wedding can also recreate a memory by making sure that they have the names of all the people that they go around and photograph people. They have no names.
Yes.
Now the host, you know, obviously the bride or the groom knows who it is, but I think that they should be sending these pictures to the people.
Oh, and like tagging them in it?
Yeah. And that's pretty cool. That way, you know,
it seems like you're reliving the event.
We were at Mary's wedding, but, you know, post hashtag Mitch Taylor.
Ooh. Yes. Well, and couples have hashtags for their weddings nowadays, and that is something we can integrate with. You know, photo booths are very easily integrated with hashtags nowadays for Instagram or Facebook,
mm-hmm.
Or, you know, YouTube. There's, you know, photo booths that'll create videos and people can post it automatically to YouTube or email their friends.
This place had a photo booth.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, it wasn't one of those old-fashioned ones where you sit down and it's four photos for $5. It was like a real deal.
No, it was cool. You got to take the picture home with you.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
We have that
actually,
picture.
Actually, that's like a really good
we
picture.
We have that picture someplace.
Yeah, I know where it is. It's a great picture.
Oh, you do. I don't know where it is.
So there's lots of ways I think couples can integrate social proof into their reception. And you have some couples or even, you know, private events, if it's a 50th birthday party or whatever the case may be, where some people have that aspect, that emotion, that personality of, I want the spotlight. Like, I want the attention. And so those you can appeal to a little more, obviously, with the social proof and posting and hashtag and things like that.
So I want to challenge you with the originality of your job, because there are tremendous competitors out there that they all think they're the greatest planner on the planet. I think you have to create new kinds of events. And I'm going to talk about this when I go out to the mobile DJ event, which I also think is a bad name, but that's just me. I think that there should be a Sweet 61 party, which is the opposite of 16.
Oh, I
so
like
when
that.
Somebody turns 61, nice. They have this whole...
Or like sexy 61.
Whatever it is. Because a lot of people, when they turn 61, are not very sexy, Jen.
But they think they're sexy, and that's what matters.
Having been to my high school reunion, I can tell
Jeffrey,
you that most of the people
look
like...
they think they're sexy, and that's what matters.
Okay, cool. or have a divorce party.
I think divorce parties are key.
Yeah.
I really
Have you ever had one, Mitch?
I have not done a divorce party yet. Hang on. Here's one. I have done a celebration of life. A funeral.
Wow. Ooh.
Like a wake.
What was that like?
It was different. We created an event. We created a video. We went in and recorded the mother of this woman and basically recorded some of her favorite life memories. And then they had a celebration of life.
Wow.
And that to me is completely different. To me, that's the genesis of what we do in the event world is you're celebrating life. You're celebrating moments.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think in divorce, you're celebrating freedom.
Yes. Amen.
For sure. And in a celebration of life, talk about being able to pull out the emotion.
Yeah.
That whole thing is emotional.
So from 61 on until they're dead, you have a life celebration division of your business. We celebrate you up to the very last minute of the very last
61's
day.
61's sort of young to celebrate life, though. Hopefully it's not happening.
No, there. I think it's fine. It's like a Sweet 16 in reverse, and it goes, you know, you start
so,
there.
Here's an interesting quote that a mentor of mine gave me. Time is the fire in which we burn, by Delmore Schwartz.
Mm. Mm.
And that is so true. If you think about it, time is the fire in which we burn.
So it's
so
like
when you reach 40, 50, whatever it is,
fire gets brighter.
Yeah, and you're looking at the hourglass, if you will, you know, at halfway, if you will, at that point, 40, 50 years old.
Yeah, let's go for 50.
You're hoping to go.
I sure hope 40 is not halfway. Yeah.
But listen, the you're right. The bottom line there is not only is it time to begin to celebrate that fire, but people who are at that age have more money. And so
yes,
they become a more viable candidate than somebody. Well, obviously the father at a bat mitzvah or at a sweet 16 or something like that has the money to celebrate that event.
Yes.
Or at a wedding, the parents are paying for the event, but I want them to pay for their own event, like a 25th
right.
year
and
wedding
they
anniversary.
Feel the emotional impact that time is ticking away.
So that's the challenge for me as a event professional, as a salesperson, mm-hmm. is now to draw that client and paint the picture of their event, not just of their event, but of us performing at their event and the memories they're going to have in the future. So you do that via video, you do that via placing them there. And oftentimes I'll talk about it with a bride and groom about, you know, a father-daughter dance.
Let me throw something at you I'm going to put on my sales expert hat.
Sure.
I would ask a question of the people who I'm proposing to, Mr. and Mrs. Jones or Mr. Jones or Mrs. Jones, have you ever left an event, a wedding or whatever, and said, that wasn't really a great event?
Yeah.
Or the band was lousy or the food was lousy. You left the event actually complaining about the event. Have you ever had that happen? And then they're going to say, oh, yeah. I said, well, tell me about one. Oh, Mary's da 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 da.
People love telling their saga stories like
then
that.
Then I would Absolutely. Say, okay, now it's time for your event. What do you want people to say yep. on their way home? What do you want people to say about the event when they're talking to other people? That's one. And then what do you want them to post? So what do you want them to say? What do you want them to post? But after they've already talked about an event that they hated, so in their mind, they can draw the difference. Like, I don't yes. want people to say this is a crappy event. So we have to have great food. Is that agreed? Yes. We have to have a great band. Is that agreed? Yes. We have to have a great MC. Is that agreed? Yes. We have to begin memorably and end memorably, correct? And
yes.
the father's poem can't be more than one page.
Amen.
Okay, so you already know what the pitfalls are, but
yes.
you have to get the other person to see and feel what the pitfalls are, or it's not going to happen.
Yes, absolutely. I think you read my book. Yes, absolutely. Agreed on all of those.
Mitch,
so you have to create a chasm. You have to create a chasm between what they've experienced before and what's possible.
Mm-hmm. Mitch, we have a lot of listeners who
sell
service.
The customer, by the way, is to fill that chasm with money in order for the event to happen.
Lots of money.
All right, Mitch, we have a lot of listeners who sell service-based solutions like yours, and I'm wondering, how do you get leads? How do you get new prospects?
So for me, it's about generating referrals through performances. Sell when you perform and perform when you sell. Another favorite quote of mine from a good friend of mine out in California. So to me, if you're not generating at least one sale, at least one minimum average from every single event that you do, then your performance sucks. And you need to improve it somehow and get better outcomes. So we generate that by performances. We generate that by referrals. Tailored Weddings right now, my company is pretty much 90% referral based.
Wow.
We still do some bridal shows, which is key for the wedding business is bridal shows.
Mm-hmm.
But I do them primarily to stay in touch with the other local event pros. Or to see new event pros that are coming into the business kind of thing, right?
So you
we
can,
all know who the...
Got it. Do you kind of test out your competition?
Well, test out
see
competition.
See what they're up to.
You can see what they're doing, but also the new people that are coming up. Maybe there's an up-and-coming photographer, or maybe there's a new wedding planner, or whatever mm-hmm. the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
So now that gives me an opportunity to network with that person that
Got
I may
you.
Not have known about until
cool.
that point in time. So for me, it's you know creating the referral base. We do a video segment as well for my company, and this is something I'd recommend for anyone in a service-based business that has other like-minded providers that they could refer. And we do a video segment called Tips from the Pros, where we actually bring someone into our studio, whether it's a photographer, whether it's a baker, whatever the case may be, a venue, and have them share their suggestions for a couple. What are the latest trends in their business? You know, how should they hire their service to their business? And then that goes up on our YouTube channel and Facebook page.
Cool.
Once
That's
a week.
Brilliant. So yeah. You're promoting them, and in turn, they Correct. Feel like they want to promote you because you just gave them all this exposure.
Correct.
I love
it's
it.
It's a win-win-win.
I love that.
I agree.
And the customer wins with the tip.
And so when you're at these events, when you're at the events and you do these photographs and stuff like that, do you stick your label on the back of it so people can remember where they got the photograph or remember the event?
You know, we have in the past done that with our photo booth strips. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of got away from it, frankly, to be honest. We haven't done that as recently, but that's still a good idea to probably do. Something we haven't done in a while, though.
This the wedding where we were, they actually gave you like a 5x7 or an 8x10. I can't remember what it was in a little frame. And I think their name was on the back of it, the photographer's name and the wedding, the wedding planner's name.
Yeah, there's definitely a bit of promotion going on there.
And you know, for disc jockeys, you know, I think it's extremely tacky to have your, you know, signage or anything like that. I mean, it's not to me. It's a private event. They've paid you to be there to facilitate, organize, ensure everyone knows what's happening, a smooth flow for the event. You know, it's tacky to have this big, you know, ass sign in the middle of
Hire me when you're not.
But it's helpful for the potential customer who may want to contact you down the line to have something with your name on it. If you're giving out photos and your stickers on the back, I don't know. If I paid
not
for the event,
the
I
front.
Wouldn't care. Right.
Correct.
Not where not I have to look at it every day, but accessible if I want to look at it.
Exactly. And I think that would be key.
So the disc jockey often doesn't disc if there's a band, correct? He becomes the MC?
I think it's different
for
everyone.
Some people have both.
Yeah,
right?
So some people have both. I've split time with many different bands when I worked in the Detroit market, Yugoslavian, Czechoslovakian, Russian weddings. You know, we had different bands we split time with. You know, so when the band takes a break, the disc jockey takes over.
Can you play the accordion?
I cannot play the accordion.
Well, there you go.
Sorry.
Now, do you actually do the DJing or you bring someone in?
So I have a staff here as well, and I actually still DJ. I cut my teeth on Carnival Cruise Lines back when I was 19.
Wow.
And yeah, when I was 19, I left the town of 450 people that I'm originally from in Maine and had never been on an airplane before, never been to the West Coast before, never been on a cruise ship before. I did it all in a matter of 2 days.
So that cruise ship had more people than your entire town.
Yeah, exactly.
That's cool.
And if you can't please 1,600 guests on a cruise ship from all over the world with all different musical tastes, you're not a true entertainer, you know?
Wow.
Wow, I love that. That's a really good story. Did you throw up?
ironically enough, I got seasick my very first Saturday.
Now you're talking.
Ever. Yeah, because I was watching the horizon line, unfortunately. But I went through 3 hurricanes on the cruise ship besides that, never got sick. So
Wow.
Hurricanes on a cruise ship doesn't sound fun.
Yeah. I get lots of stories there.
I get sick going up 3 flights of steps.
The Empire State Building is a little rocky.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
especially
goodness.
When they go, and we have a special pass for you. You get to go up in the observation
deck. All the way to the top, where
like,
most people don't get to go.
Okie
That's awesome.
Oh, no, you're scared
it's
shitless.
Really high up.
I've been to CN Tower.
You have a great view, but you don't want to move.
Right?
I went for the whole process, but I had the willies. I can tell you that.
Okay, so most of your business comes from referrals. What would you recommend to someone who's just getting started with the business
and they
or
have
some
no base.
Sort of service-based business? Yeah. And they don't have people to get referrals from.
Sure. You know, and again, I started out here 2003. I moved to this new area and I didn't have anyone, didn't know anybody, frankly, besides my in-laws. So for me, it was just about branding. In today's, you know, social media age, it's way easier than it used to be.
Yeah.
Pre-internet, if you will. So there's a lot you can do on your own right now, just getting social media channels up and running. You know, looking at branding, go talk to your local chamber of commerce.
Why wouldn't you give away a wedding for free? Why wouldn't you give away an event?
You absolutely can do that. And a bridal show would be a great place to partner with a promoter to do that, to mm-hmm. offer a free wedding, mm-hmm. because it's going to get you exposure. Now, if you're doing that, giving away a free wedding, then I would encourage you to make sure you're a major sponsor of the show, because that's value for the show promoter as well.
Or get on a news station that, you know, you're giving something,
Bob's wedding is for nothing.
Are you kidding? Make it a contest and make it cool. And tons of publicity from it.
And leads.
We participated in that too, where we had a local bridal shop get together and do a competition to give away a wedding. And we were part of that. So lots of things you can do. Just think outside the box. I talked about it today I do a morning weekday show on my Facebook feed called Live at 7:55. And
I like
that's
that.
Yeah. And so today I talked about that brainstorming, you know, get together with a colleague and talk about your business and how you can recreate each contact you have with a client to better that contact.
Mitch, we're going to put this up on the screen, but where can people find out more about you?
Yeah. So I have a few different businesses. I have Tailored Weddings, which is my wedding company here in Escanaba, Michigan. And then we have Tailored Sales. As a Jeffrey Gittimer certified advisor, I help coach wedding and event pros on their sales process and how to better their business.
Cool.
And tailoredsales.com is the website for that. Mm-hmm. And then I have a podcast as well with a certified personality trainer, and that's at creatingconnections.biz.
Cool.
Okay, great.
Mitch, you're on fire for a guy who's in the town.
It's more like your last name, like T-A-Y.
Yes, T-A-Y.
Got it.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Does the post office know where to deliver your mail on a...
Believe it or not, yes. You turn left after the third deer.
Cool. All right. Well, go have fun. I'll see you in Vegas. And thank you for this. Yes. Is a great interview. Thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Thank you, Jennifer. Greatly appreciate it.
All right. Take care. Thanks for joining us on Sell or Die. Subscribe and rate us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. Just search Sell or Die.
And follow us on Twitter. I'm at Gittimer. On Facebook, I'm /Jeffrey Gittimer.
I'm at Jen in the New York Minute.
You follow me. You follow Jen. We tweet it. We Facebook it. You click it. You join it.
Thanks to our amazing guests today. Our producer is Doug Branson, and our technical director is Chris Hill. Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
And I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, reminding you to get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off.